Bhagavad Gita is a scripture. A scripture and the other ordinary books that we read, there is a difference in them. The scriptures are trying to bring to our awareness the knowledge of something that is beyond our sense perception. The knowledge that we acquire by our senses, like the knowledge of the workings of the nature, that knowledge is called science. And certainly it is praiseworthy, this pursuit of the knowledge through senses. But that is not the whole of knowledge. The knowledge which is beyond these limitations, that knowledge is brought to us through the scriptures. The scriptures are the words of those who have gone beyond these limitations. What they are describing is beyond all words, and yet they have to use the medium of words. So this is their problem, that they have to communicate to us that truth which is beyond words, and yet the only medium available with them is Triveni words, is it not? Because they have the only medium with which they can communicate with us, they are using the words. Therefore, those words are to be understood in a different sense. Something beyond those words is being indicated through the words. I had sometimes told you that the study of scriptures, if we do just by looking at the words and not the awareness of which these words are the hints, then it becomes the understanding of a blind person about milk. Now the man was blind and had not never known what milk is. So somebody was talking about milk, and he asked, "Hey, what are you talking about?" Said, "That is milk, you know, we drink milk." "Milk? What is it? What is it?" And the person told that it is a white liquid. White liquid? What is white? Now for a blind person the colors were not understood. So he said, "What is white?" Then he was told a crane looks white, you know, a crane, the bird looks white. Again the problem, you know, what is a crane? How does a crane look like? What is a crane? Then he was told there was a particular instrument that they use for cutting the grass. What is it called in English? Sickle-like thing, you know, with bent. Yes. Scythe. Yes. How do you pronounce it? Sit. Sit, scythe, okay. So that is, somebody told him that it has a neck like that. And so, when he was moving his hand somewhere, and then suddenly he came across that scythe he knew, so he had used it. So he came to the scythe, and as soon as he touched scythe, he said, "Hey, this milk is like this." Now see the expression of milk to the blind person, therefore, became just like sight. because the sight was described as similar to the crane's neck. So the crane, whiteness and milk, they got connected through words. So it is told in Vedanta that if you use just the, look at only the words, then your understanding about the truth will be just like that blind man's understanding about milk. So, therefore we need to go to the awareness of these people. Swami Shivananda, whose birth anniversary we are celebrating today, and also who was very particular about studying the scriptures, once told to the novices who were busy studying different scriptures like Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita, that he said to them that, did you study our lives? Can you read our lives? Try to read our lives. That will make these words meaningful to you. These words are to be studied in the light of these great people, their life, who have gone beyond the limitations of our sense organs. And therefore, when we get connected to their life, then the meaning of the words can become really understandable. So, it is with this understanding we have to study these scriptures. There was a very illuminating incident. One of his disciples, a very scholarly monk, and he was at Nagpur where I used to be, and he was disciple of Swami Shivananda. He, while studying the commentary of Shankara in some place, I don't know where, that part of commentary he couldn't understand. So he wrote to Swami Shivanandaji that, I do not understand this, please explain. Swami Shivananda did not give any further elaborate explanation as to what this word would mean and what that word would mean. He knew this particular Swami, his student, is well versed with all those things. What he wrote is, you are studying the commentary of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya, Shankaracharya's words are the outcome of his God-centered life. His life, look at his life. And if you try to see those words as the expression of his God-centered or truth-centered life, then those words will make sense. And this Swami did exactly that, and everything became very clear then. So, that is how we should approach the scriptures. When we are studying Bhagavad Gita, last time we were discussing about the reality which is ourself, and it is beyond body and mind. The body especially, with which we are so identified and feel that we are born and we grow and we die. Although, there are occasions in our life when we know that I am not the body. We use the words like my nose, my ear, just extend it to everything. Then everything is mine. So, I am not body becomes apparent then. Like you can say, my head, my brain. We say sometimes that this man's brain is not functioning well, or there is some problem. Then we say that the eyes are not functioning well, the heart is not functioning well. So, these are different parts, like the parts of a car. there is the engine, there is the transmission system, there is the brake system, all those, the car has an assembly. So similarly, this body is like a vehicle in which we are traveling. But if one gets identified with the car, then feels, if the car is hurt, I am hurt. If somebody says, hey, what a lousy car you have, then the owner feels so bad. The car may not feel bad, but the owner feels very bad. One gentleman some years back, he had a very functionally very nice car. It was old, that's all. So, when he said, come on, let's go, and I sat in the car, he told, this lady is doing great job for many years, not a word against it. Not a word against it will be tolerated. So, it is, because it is, one gets identified even with the external objects like that. My house, one gets identified with it as if it is I. Although we say my house, we get so attached to it, a word against it or something happens to it, we feel it is, something has really happened to me. So, similarly about the body too, different parts assembled together, just as we select a house to live in, and similarly we select the house to of this body to live in. We are not the body. Just as we are not the house, just as we are not the car, just as we are not the clothes that we wear, similarly we are not the body that we live in. This theoretical understanding has to be a practical experience. It is to be meditated upon, must be thought about continuously. We should remind ourselves that body is my instrument, I am not the body. So body should not drag me, just as my car should not take me where the car wants to go. It is I decide where the car should go. So it is I who should take care of the body and use it for my purpose. I am not the body. And look at it, as soon as we get some understanding of this in our life, it will bring a very happy change. Most of our life is otherwise spent in worrying about the body, about the conditions of it, as if they are mine. Like I am a man or I am a woman. Lot of problems because of that. But it is the body, it is not I. I am young or old. Oh, it is body, not you are not young or old. You are eternal. It is the body, and that sometimes was an infant, grew up, becomes old and dies. Just as it is like a fruit, from the flower, a little fruit gets born, grows. If you leave it there, after a while it drops. The leaves, they come out in the spring and grow. When the fall comes, they fall. Similarly, the body also, it comes and goes. The indweller or the user of the body is separate from it. This is a very important idea that we were discussing last time. It will come again and again in Bhagavad Gita, because this is one of the cornerstones of Vedanta, that you are immortal. When Swami Vivekananda came to this country to attend the Parliament of Religion, he said in the Parliament of Religion that we are all children of immortality. We are children of immortality because we are beyond birth and death. There is no birth for us because we are eternal. Birth is for that, like somebody who we say born on such and such date. Deepti born on such and such date means what? Deepti was not there before that date. And then sometimes after many decades when she dies, then she will not be there anymore. That birth and death. But for something that is always present, there is no birth and therefore no death either. That which is born has to die. You cannot stop its death. It keeps on continuously changing and has to die. There is absolutely no way of stopping the death of that which is born. It is only the our self which is beyond body. It never dies. Therefore, that verse of Bhagavad Gita, Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grinhati naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. Vasansi means clothings. When they get worn out, torn out, jirnani, what a person does when they are no longer good for use, you cast them aside. But that doesn't mean that you have no clothes then. You get another one. It is when one clothing is... clothing is comparatively less durable than the body. Less durable, less valuable also. Body is more valuable. Just because a shirt is torn, you don't think that your life is not worth living anymore. The shirt is torn, but my body is still functional, very good, excellent. So what I do? Just because the shirt is torn, I don't kill myself. I do not throw myself away. My body is still excellent. So, only the shirt is changed. Now, apply this. Let us apply this, considering the body to be the shirt. Very simple, is it not? And imagine that we have put on this body as a shirt. It is very fragile. Compared to our immortal nature, this body is very fragile. It is comparatively much less valuable than our inner being. So what happens is the body is used very nicely. As long as we can make good use of it, we should make good use of it. But when we cannot use the body well, then the inner being starts thinking that, well, I have been using it for quite some time. Now it is time that I need to take a new one. Because a lot of money is being spent for its repairs. Like the car repair, you know, if you cannot, it becomes too expensive to maintain a rickety old car. And moreover, you do not get much use out of it. Whenever you have to go some long distance, you find after going 10 miles, it gets stuck somewhere. And then again you have to do something about it. It is one such car came to a toll booth. And there are those toll booths. So while coming to toll booths, it was making all sorts of noises. Some smoke was coming here, something was happening there, and it was looking all imbalanced. And at the toll, that person there, he said, $5. This man said, sold. That's deal. So, it is like that. That the body also taking caring for the body, and it is of not proving of much use. You want to inside do many things, but through this body now it is not possible. Just as we need to want to do lot of journey, we need to go to work every morning with the car, and then if the car doesn't someday is not starting, if it starts after a while something else fails, then next day something else happens, and then you take it to the mechanic. Mechanic says, they are the car clinics, therefore they are called car clinics, like body clinics, hospitals. There are car hospitals, car doctors. So the car doctor sees and says that, it will require a major surgery. Your car is in for a major surgery. I had an old car given by our Jamuna Bai, and then it met an accident. Then after, it was an old car, very nice, beautiful, and I was very much attached to it. So after the accident, I thought let us see if it can be repaired. And the garage man told, no, not worth putting any money in it. So it is like that, that the body also, we want to do lot of work. Our life, our inner life is far more valuable, far more precious. And there are many things that we do, want to do, but the body doesn't allow it, all that to happen. So, although we are attached to the body, already a mechanism is going on inside that starts looking for other bodies. Just as when you see that you need to change the car, for various reasons, the last class we were discussing, that it is not only that you change the car because it has gone bad, it is not functional. It may be still very good, very functionally useful for some others, but because of your particular needs have changed, you now want to change it. Like the family has expanded, you want a bigger car. So instead of a small car, you want to take an SUV or a big van or something. So although the car was not bad, it was very nice. It is traded for something bigger. That old car, small car, is discarded. It is still functional. It is not bad, but yet one changes it for a new one. And that is why some people seem to die at an early age. The body is still good, but the works that they want to do, their mind wants to do, that is not possible to be done through this particular body. Although, for somebody else it is useful. That design is useful for somebody, but not for this inner being. So says, no, I will have another one. The another body is therefore manufactured, and this person goes into that. Depending on what function you have, somebody feels that, well, my job, you know, although I have a car for other works, I need also a truck, because my job is, I am a carpenter. So a carpenter is, you cannot take all the tools and all materials with that car. I need a truck. So the person does not discard the car, keeps the car to go somewhere just for pleasure trips or to visit the friends. But for his work, that person retains a truck. I need a truck. So similarly, one can have more than one body also. One can be functioning through more than one body. When we understand the possibility that we are the users of the body, just as we are users of the coat, just as we are the users of the cars, just as we are users of the houses, if we are exactly in the same way users of the body, then what prevents us from using more than one body? Nothing really. One can use more than one body. Also, one can share the body. That just as one shares the house, I don't need the whole house, for I don't want to maintain the whole house. It is too costly. Let me have a tenant there, so that the tenant shares, say, half the house, say, half the body is shared by the tenant. So it is so, therefore, not that there is always just one being in one body. There can be multiple beings using the same body. Many disorders in psychology, like a divided identity disorder, is because of this, that there are, this doesn't always become a disorder, because when those who are sharing, and they are in on good terms, there is no problem, you know, there is no disease. It becomes disease only when the tenant and the owner, they start having conflicts. Hey, why did you put trash here? And why did you make a hole in the wall? And then the problem starts. And why did you not pay the rent properly? So the problems with the tenants then begin. Then it is a disease, then quarrels, and disease means what? That makes you uncomfortable, that is called disease. So then the life becomes uncomfortable, because the body is, there are two different beings fighting over in the body, so it becomes uncomfortable. Otherwise, even if 2, 3, 4 are staying in the body, no problem. In fact, you invite others, you know. It is, you put a board for rent. For rent, put an ad. That. So, you invite somebody to share the body. It can be shared. In fact, it is shared. Most of our these bodies are shared. It is too costly an instrument, very, very costly an instrument to be owned by just one person. Therefore, when we talk to people, do we not many times feel that, Was he the same person I met the other day? Was he the same? See how that day he spoke to me so nicely, and today he just rebuffed me. Why? Actually, we are trying to recognize the person only from the body. But just as in a house there may be several people staying, you press the doorbell, sometimes one person comes in front of you, sometimes another person opens the door and faces you. Similarly, when you see the body, it is not that the same person is there always greeting you. It may be a different person altogether. This sounds, you know, bizarre because of our identification with body. But there is nothing bizarre about it. It is all if one is watchful about one's own behavior, sometimes we can say we want to go in one place, and the mind is craving for one thing, and then the body is used for that. At other time, the body is wanting something different, the body is used for that. It is because the two different beings are there, like if you are sharing a car. In the morning, one person uses it, in the evening another person uses it. One person is working in Cranston, so you will see the car during the morning hours standing in Cranston. Another person takes it in the evening and says is working at Boston. So you see that very car in Boston. That very car, person is different, but the car is the same. Similarly, this body, sometimes you see is here using, somebody is using it. Another time, the intentions are different. Whole this person inside is different using the same body. So same body can be used by multiple people, and multiple bodies can be used by the same person. Like one person can have many houses, many cars, many computers. This is the computer example becomes more easily understandable, because there we have this understanding. When this knowledge about computers became more widespread, then the teaching of this subject of reincarnation became easier, you know, because one started understanding that software and hardware, different things. You can load the same program on multiple hardwares. So similarly, now one program is using various machines. It is like that one inner being is using multiple bodies. It is like that. So it is the point is that our mind is separate from the body, and we are separate from both of them. In the Vedanta text, they are called, the external body is called the gross body. The inner body, that is again body, it is called subtle body, which actually stores everything, all experiences are stored there. That is the real functional unit, which is more permanent compared to the gross body. The gross body comes easily, goes very easily. Also, it doesn't store anything. It is only in a secondary sense it is a storage device, but primarily the things are stored in a particular program, and those programs can be transferred from one place to another place. So information that is loaded on one machine can be loaded on multiple machines, can be transferred from one machine to another machine. So it is for big office works. Hundreds and hundreds of computers are working simultaneously with just one program, because one particular machine is not enough. So many machines are pressed into service. So therefore, it is said in the yoga aphorisms that a yogi wants to finish the work quickly. So instead of using only one body, works through many bodies, so that all the karma can be exhausted quickly. Karma means, in a way, work. Want to finish work quickly. So if you want to finish, say, the construction of a house quickly, then if you have only one person working, may take long time. So you press in service, say, maybe 40-50 people, and depending on how you can organize them. Otherwise, all 40 people would be standing and nobody will be working, you know. That is not that it is only more means more work. Somebody asked that, well, that if one person is finishing this work in 1 hour, if two persons are put to work, then how much time it will take? Now the plain answer would have been, say, half hour, is it not? One person, 1 hour, two persons should take half hour to finish it. But this man asked, well, who are they, men or women? Why? Said, if they are women, they will say, both of them will keep on talking with each other all the time and no work will be done at all. It will take forever. So it is, the thing is, one has to organize those things properly. So more bodies does not mean always more speed. More confusion also can take place because of more body. Because one does something, another comes and undoes it. So that is not the way to do it. It is, therefore, a yogi can do it with very organized, very skillful mind. So this is a great idea to remember, that we are not this gross body. And there is the subtle body. What is this subtle body? This is again an instrument, not I. But this, when this gross body becomes no more usable, or we want to change it for any reason, can be taken and put on another gross body. This is called birth. When what is called death? When do we say a man or a woman has died? When a person dies, what happens? The subtle body and the gross body, their connection is gone. That connection is taken out. Not that a particular physical condition is the cause for death. That is not cause for death. That may be indication of death, but not the cause for death. It is not that we live because we breathe. It is the other way around. We breathe because we are living. When we stop living, then the breathing will stop. It is not the other way around. The instruments are secondary. So it is this body, as long as it is that subtle body keeps it, then it is yours. That person is said to be living there. Now goes away. Now maybe that body may be good, Maybe it is not a dilapidated body, but not being used by this person anymore. This contact between the subtle body and the gross body is broken. Like when you move from one house to another house, earlier you were calling that house as my house, you were giving the address, this is where I live. Now you change the house, your address has changed now. You live at another location. The mail will be sent there, not in the earlier house. So, similarly, this whole thing is the whatever you have, it gets transferred to another house. And what you have is very valuable. What is valuable? All our actions, their results, they are very valuable. They are carried with us. It is when you change the house, you do not leave your valuables in the old house and just go. You take everything that you can take. Everything that is of some value. That which cannot be taken easily or is very cumbersome and is not needed that much anyway, you let it remain. I was reading the other day, when you buy a house, an old house, what do you get with it? What the furniture also do you buy? Or is the furniture automatically sold when you sell the house? Then there is a norm about it. What you can detach without using an instrument, that is taken away. That which for which you require instruments to take out, that remains in the house, that you buy when you buy the house. What can be taken like the furniture if it is not screwed in or stuck with the walls of the house, you can take it away. So similarly, that which is not totally stuck with the gross body, that is all taken away and put into the new body, just as you put yourself into new clothings. The whole of you, not that only some half part of you is body is in the new clothing and remaining half in the old clothing. It is the you put yourself into the new clothing. So similarly, through this body, you take yourself and put there. And that is done beforehand. You are reborn actually before the death. That is what is told in Upanishads, that you select the new body first and then give up the old body. So these are very interesting ideas. The mind, with all its contents, all the work that you have done till now gets transferred into the new body. So Arjuna is being told that you are grieving because of this identification with the body, that if the body goes, oh, gone. Nothing is gone because of that. The substance remains and the body has to go even otherwise. Even otherwise, today or tomorrow, the body has to go. So do your duty. Don't feel attached to the body. Do your duty. Your goal of life is more important than grieving for these passing bodies. They come, they go. These are the only like the garments. Just as that is how the attitude has to be developed, that the body is just a garment. No need to preserve it with big, big, huge pyramids built on it after it dies. Hindus, therefore, you see, they just cremate the body. Just as quickly as possible. no, not keep it for 4 days or 5 days, no. It is because it is was just, why keep it unnecessarily? It was just a heap of bones, blood, this, that, and just dispose it off as quickly as possible. It is, the idea is that you are not the body. In the Western world, the language also, Swami Vivekananda says, that it is taken that you are the body, you are not the soul. But it is said that you have a soul and you are the body. So when somebody dies here, it is said that the person has given up the ghost. Means the person is the body and then the soul is given up. Whereas the Indian or the Eastern idea is that person has given up, cast away the body. And the person is not the body. So we have to rise above this idea that I am the body. That is really living Vedanta. When, even if we are able to rise above it an inch, now I am giving a physical measure, a little bit, then see how much freedom we enjoy. And the real essence of Vedanta is in this practical application. That see, know that I am not the body. A lot of freedom is achieved there. And the more that this idea becomes clear to us, our living then is not body-centered living, but the self-centered, not in the bad sense, but really, not that a person is self-centered means always busy about one's I want this and I want that, never cares about others. That is not the idea. Self means the inner being, the one who is the dweller of the body. So life gets then centered over something that is more permanent, more real. So, we shall continue about the discussion of that in another next 3-4 verses. Sri Krishna tells that the inner being cannot be killed by anything, no weapons affect it, no nothing that you do physically is going to kill the inner being. It is transcendent over that. It is transcendent over what is happening there. Just as whatever happens in the movie doesn't affect the screen, you know, it remains the same. And that color of the blood in of the bloodshed in the movie doesn't go to that screen. So similarly, the inner being remains intact, the same. And whatever happens to the body, that idea is expressed in the next 4 verses. So, we shall try to discuss it next Friday. Any questions? Okay, let us start from here. Okay, Chet?
Well, I'm going to set up a thought experiment. You can tell me if it's correct based on what I heard, and then try to answer it. Okay. So, the subtle body, which is animating this heap right here, right, has a certain perspective right now, and I'm looking in this direction. And I know from being here before, there's a picture of Swami Vivekananda that's in this general direction. But I can't see it now because Swami Vivekananda is there. So if I have the ability to take the subtle body and transfer it to another, to basically transfer the software to another piece of hardware, I happen to notice that Laurie happens to be in a convenient spot for seeing a picture of Swami Vivekananda that I would like to see. So if I was able to transfer the subtle body to that hardware, then I should be able to see it, right?
Exactly. See, it is a very interesting... Oh, that is true. If her eyes are open again. If that gross body is... Yes. Then it won't work. You are right. So she was awake to your question, you see. A very interesting question, you know.
But it's only part of the question. Okay, so...
Yeah.
So that's true. But now, there's the continuity of time, right? Right? So what happens to the awareness that was here? So if it was here at exactly 8:30 p.m., and now I transfer over there to at 8:31, and come back here at 8:32. Vedanta always seems to say that the consciousness is the one integrating all of these experiences, right? The screen on which everything is playing. So now it would seem like there would be a sudden shift, a discontinuity in the perception of time or the awareness. So, take it away.
A very nice question. Chet is a very intelligent and scientific man. Very good question. Let me first put the question to you. He said that the mind or this software from this body, because it wants to see the picture of Swami Vivekananda, which he cannot see from that, when the body is in that position, this obstruction comes and so cannot see the picture of Swami Vivekananda, and so goes from here to here. And taking for granted that this body is functional, then means awake, eyes are open, then from here will be able to see the picture of Vivekananda. Yes, that is possible. That can be done. And in fact, people have done it. That is one. And the other part is more interesting. And that shows, you know, how we take the sense of time to be something absolute. It is the sense of time that we have. We have two different sense of time when we are attached to the gross body. Our sense of time is as put inside the brain, the past, present and future. But at the subtle body level, this time sense has not much meaning. It is because these divisions of past, present and future do not exist there. To give you just a glimpse, you know, again, this is how we have to, because we have to hear function through this brain. So those limitations we take for granted. But there is a state where we go beyond this. And there the idea of time completely becomes different. And that is in the state of dream. Try to think the memory of dream. You know, the time sense that is here is not there. The past, present, future become very different there. So it is not that it is goes from here in the gross space and then goes here and travel requires time. And so it must have taken a fraction of a second for it to go from here and then come here, but that is not the time scale at all. It is called the gross time and space is called here as in Vedanta as the sthulakasha, the gross time and space, sthulakasha. In the Rajyoga that Patanjali's that descriptions come, sthulakasha means gross space and time. Then the sukshmakasha, subtle space and time. And that is different. Like it is when you are seeing a movie, in the movie, according to the scale of the movie, whatever events are taking place there, the whole Mahabharata movie can be seen in 3 hours. That in the movie that will be shown as 25 years, 30 years, 50 years. But these 50 years were just 3 hours for you when you were sitting here. So, like that the time idea becomes very different. The past, present, future is not the same like that. There is no continuity either like that. The continuity is again, in a way, myth. Continuity of time is myth. Just as the space is to be perceived as quantized, the time also, in quantum mechanics, this is space and time also are to be perceived as quantized. There is no particular continuity of time. And just as you cannot ask in quantum mechanics, what happened to that particle in between, you cannot ask. Similarly, where the mind was in between, when it went from here to there, that question doesn't exist. And what was happening at that time here, it is again not really important, because it can be there at simultaneously at the two places.
But so wouldn't there be a discontinuity in space then? Like if you watch a movie or a sports event, they have multiple cameras in the stadium.
Yeah.
And they can shift from this camera, take another look immediately from this other camera.
Yeah.
And clearly the observer recognizes they just shifted the camera.
They shifted the camera.
You see a discontinuity
in space background. Yeah. No, that need not happen. That may happen, but that need not necessarily happen. It is because there you seeing this or that. Here you can see this and that. That is the difference. Your mind can be in this body as well as on that body. Not that it is when it is here, it is not here. Like another good example, the same movie can be screened at the same time in say 100 theaters. So the same character, if you say the character in the movie was here in Providence, in Boston, in Cranston, in all those places at the same time. So you were seeing from here as well as from here, in a different sense of time again, at the same time.
The observer that spread out over time in that
space. Yeah. It is the observer that gets spread. It is not that spread, yes, if the word spread means again not divided as such, but it is spread. And not that there has to be a time lag in. It is not the movement through the gross space. yes, somebody else wanted to ask something. Yes, Tom?
You said that the more than one consciousness could occupy one body.
Yeah.
Does that mean more than one subtle body also?
Exactly, more subtle body. What I meant was more than one subtle body can occupy one gross body. You are right.
Doesn't one subtle body have to be in control of the body?
At a given time, maybe. But then after, say, 10 minutes, and the other subtle body takes over. It is like that. But it is seen in most of us, it is a divided identity. Most of us. It doesn't become a disorder, remember, it doesn't become a disorder because there is no conflict. It is only when there is conflict, then it is a disorder. Yes, Richard?
Does Ramakrishna or any of the Swamis of the order ever join you
Well, that is, of course, whenever something good happens from this body, it is only they who can do it, you know. They join in this body and make me do something good.
So you're aware of this happening?
Yes, very sure.
Yeah, I thought so.
Very clever guy. Okay.
To take it to the ultimate limit, it's really, isn't it just one awareness working through everything?
It is one awareness working through everything, but the minds are different. The subtle bodies are not same. the gross bodies are more variegated. Subtle bodies, it has more capabilities, and the variety is more in one sense. But subtle bodies can be taken from one place to another place, and there is multiplicity in that. It is not one and the same. So therefore, reincarnation takes place. We are different at the subtle body level also. Only the differences that are related to the gross body, they vanish there. Like one can say that the electricity passing through all these different instruments is the same one. The instruments vary, the electricity is the same. But then, at many these we can have different types of electricity. They are again different. Or the different types of energy sources, they are different. So, at that level they are different. So, again you can have this idea that beyond them, then there is all sameness. But at the level of the gross body, there is difference. At the level of the subtle body is also the difference. So difference is not all gone at the level of subtle body. Therefore, one person is happy, another person is miserable. If the subtle body where it is that experiences it are the same, then it wouldn't have mattered. But it is the subtle body that is different here, different here, different here. So they are different. First let George let him ask.
I don't know if we can get into it because
okay.
It's just the idea of what I am today, I wasn't when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Real age and so forth. When I die, my body dies and my mind dies.
No, mind doesn't die, brain dies. Oh, there is lot of difference.
Well, they say the mind I got now isn't the same mind I had when I was 5 years old or 10 years old.
Well, that is, they refer it to the brain, you know. It is referred to the brain. And sometimes it is identified, especially in the Western science, this thing, neurologists do not see anything mind as separate from brain. But it is really confusing, the switch for the electricity. It functions through the brain, that is correct. But if you suppose, like I turn on the switch, the lights are on, I turn off, they are off. So I see that, well, whatever that light coming and going is just this switch. If I do not have an access to anything beyond, then I see that all this function is the function of the switch. So similarly, because the neurologists do not have an instrument of seeing or perceiving beyond brain, they think that it is the brain that is mind. It is, there is nothing more than that, nothing beyond that. But actually it is not so.
Well, the Gita in the second chapter there teaches that you are nothing but the brain and body.
No, it is not that.
Mind and so forth, and when that dies, you just go into another stage. And the only thing that continues is this spirit of the Atman.
No, it is not what Bhagavad Gita says. That is what we are reading. Yeah, so when you put on new clothes, it is the gross body including brain that goes away. But the mind stays. Mind is not brain. Please, you know, don't confuse between these. It is Atman is connected to everything. But Atman is the user, not the mind or the body, none of these instruments.
Well, what they talk about is just putting on another set of clothes.
Yeah, another set of clothes.
Yeah. But I don't understand that, and the fact that when you have another person, they say, well, he acts that way, maybe it's from another life, and so forth.
That is true.
So why, in other words, you carry...
That is why the subtle body is carried, you know. Subtle body is carried. The mind is carried from one body to another body. Mind is not brain. Unless you get rid of this confusion, you won't be able to understand this. You are confusing identifying mind and brain. They are not same. Just as the software is not same as the hardware. It is not, the brain is not same as mind.
But when you die, the only thing that continues is the Atman.
No, the subtle body, the mind goes, mind does not die when the body dies. It is wrong to say that the mind dies when the body dies. Bhagavad Gita does not say that. In fact, it says in second chapter and many other places also, that the mind goes to the next different body. Along with the soul takes it. We will discuss it later, you know. Yes, Charles?
So the yogi go 100 years into the future or 100 years into the past to see what was happening and then come back halfway around the world?
That is true. Yogi can do that, yeah. So let us conclude.
A good story about that.
Oh well, the you try.
Okay.
Let us conclude with the closing prayer. Gita Sugita Kartavya Kimanyat Shastra Vistarehi. या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानियानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।